In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xennial. But what is a Xennial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xennial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And today we're going to be talking a little bit about the holiday season.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sure when you guys are going to hear this podcast exactly. This is being recorded as kind of a little extra thing to have on hand.
Yeah.
Just in case we have weeks where people can't record anything, or we just feel like whatever we recorded that week doesn't get to come out because we maybe want to save it for later.
Yeah.
This is being recorded in the midst of the 2019 holiday season.
Okay.
You're saying that like, okay, like you're not acknowledging the date and time and whatnot. We're in the midst of the season, are we not?
I mean, we're at the beginning of the season. I thought the holiday season started at like Thanksgiving and went through.
Well, it depends on how you really want to view it.
Unless it starts on Halloween?
There are some people who say that it starts as early as September when they start putting out decorations for things. That's kind of the discussion I want to have today.
Yeah, that sounds like a little weird.
Well, I mean, think back to when you were a kid.
Okay.
You're right. Halloween wasn't considered a part of the holidays. Halloween happened, and then the holidays start happening around Thanksgiving. You have Thanksgiving. You have Hanukkah that happens.
Yeah.
You have Christmas that happens and New Year's. And all that's really comprised of the holidays.
Right.
But I think they've started to stretch this all the way out to Halloween and then even before that into September anymore.
Is that really? Man, I don't know.
I mean, think back. Now, in the work environments that you've worked in.
Yes.
Right?
Because I feel like I've kind of been like hyper exposed to it for as long as I've been in.
For instance, you used to work at an electronics store, if I remember correctly, right?
Oh, yes.
And an electronics store that had overhead music that was programmed by some corporate entity somewhere or other?
Yeah, there were multiple stations.
So when did the Christmas music start? When would the Christmas music start?
It started the day after Thanksgiving, and that was it.
Day after Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Guess what, buddy?
Huh?
It starts the day after Halloween now.
Where?
Many places. I know that at our
the job that I have right now doesn't do that until Thanksgiving.
Well, at some of the large super shopping places like Walmart's, for instance,
I could see that
they have the music starting.
Like really,
they have the second
were
Halloween
they at least running holiday music, Halloween music at that time.
No, there's no what Halloween music.
Halloween music.
I mean, what do you get the Monster Mash over and over again?
Are you kidding me? There's a bunch of Halloween music.
Really?
Okay, so in. So
I mean, when I was at my kid's school for their trick-or-treating thing that they did,
where I currently work is a music store, and people are going to be able to glean this information and tell where I work.
Yeah.
Where I work is a music store, as far as my day job is concerned. And it's a music retail environment, right?
Yeah.
But it's music-centric.
Yeah.
And it does not have what I would consider your standard during the regular parts of the year.
It doesn't have your standard music.
Station,
no.
Which is nice. However, it does allow itself the convenience of being able to throw out stuff that most people don't normally hear.
Yeah.
As far as especially in the holidays, Christmas music, you don't hear a lot of the same stuff. You'll hear a little Brian Setzer, there's any Christmas music I dig, it's going to be like Brian Setzer, but they'll also play like the Twisted Sister came out with a Christmas album, so they'll play a couple of songs from that.
Yeah.
They kind of throw a little bit, a couple of curveballs. You know, TSO gets played on there, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, that kind of stuff. And you don't really hear as much of that as much as you hear like Mariah Carey in Walmart. Or
you hear Mariah Carey
the newest
Walmart,
Ariana Grande version of whatever. Like you hear the pop stuff.
Oh, God. How many versions of Holy Night can I listen to? Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
You've
got Charlotte Church playing at Target. You know what I mean?
In the modern era, there are two definitive versions of Oh Holy Night. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, at least in my opinion.
Here's the cool thing.
Hold on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's do these two definitive versions. Do you have any idea what they might be?
Sorry, say that again. Your last.
Two definitive versions of Oh Holy Night. The song "Oh Holy Night." There are two versions of that song. The only two that I
have a personal definitive version of a holy night.
It's probably my second one. My first definitive version is the Reba McEntire version. Reba McEntire hits all the notes perfectly. She's fantastic singing the song.
Okay.
The second version, Cartman from South Park. Was that your version?
No.
What's your version?
Oh, I'm going to have to play it for you.
What is it?
There is on YouTube, it cycled out as whole. It's Oh Holy Night, the worst version ever.
Yeah.
And it's a recording of a guy who basically he was a pastor. He's a pastor.
I've heard this version.
And
I've heard
it
this
is
version.
A church.
No,
it is a pastor recorded. Yeah. Like, here's what it is. It's I will.
I've seen it. Go ahead, though. Go ahead.
I get to describe this to people who hear this because.
Please do.
Oh, man. Okay. So this is a studio recording of somebody who did a recording of a traditional version of A Holy Night, and I've heard the original version, and it's all right, it's cool, but basically as a joke, the studio engineers were there with the pastor, and I don't know if he was overseeing it or what have you, but basically this guy recorded this way back in the 90s in this studio version, and so the music, the backing music is high quality, and this guy starts singing, and he's singing into a high quality mic. And he can't carry a tune in a bucket.
Oh, no, it's god awful.
It's so bad. This guy has never been able to sing properly in his entire life. And he just gives it everything he's got.
And it's awful.
And it sounds the worst that it could possibly sound.
Yeah, it is. It's
where horrible. You are in tears laughing by the time it's over.
I can't listen to it because that's one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Oh, man.
It's like,
I love this version because it's so bad. That is my definitive version.
See, I like the Cartman
one. I can give you that one.
Especially because like he's being electrocuted through the whole thing. It's brilliant. You have to see this.
There's an album version where he doesn't get shocked by a cattle prod.
It's not worth it though. You need to watch the YouTube version. Watch it on YouTube. The actual version that was in the series where he is being shocked by the cattle prod the whole time. Every time he messes up lyrics, he's being shocked by it. It's so hilarious. It's just a beautiful run, and it's actually still sung very well.
Yeah,
that's the scary part. It actually sounds good, and then he's getting shocked by a cattle prod. I mean, what is more beautiful? What says Christmas more than that?
Cartman getting shocked by a cattle prod, singing all the wrong words.
But yes, Christmas music starts sometimes as early as the day after Halloween. Moreover, this is a personal little story on
this.
Okay,
we're going to go back to the Halloween music stuff, though, eventually.
Okay, just let me hit this note.
Go for it.
Actually, I can tell us with the story. My daughter had been listening to a bunch of different music that was Halloween-related up till Halloween Day.
Okay.
All these kind of kid music on her tablet.
Yeah.
She's listening to all these kids' music of different Halloween things and, you know, different monsters and stuff, and the noises they make, and they're coming after you, and all these fun little kids' music for Halloween. Great.
Yeah.
I kid you not, man. The day after Halloween, I'm getting her dressed to go to school in the morning. She starts singing Christmas songs.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh my God, what have I done? How have I failed as a parent? The day after Halloween, and I asked her, seriously? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. And she just smiled at me. Just smiled at me.
There's no Thanksgiving carols, though.
You have a point.
There should be. I think there should be Thanksgiving carols.
There's
4th of July music. You know what I mean? Like, there should be.
What, Toby Keith? Sorry, I had to laugh at that one.
Okay, well, there's that one. There's one that's there's one that's from a favorite of mine from a band called Korean Fire Drill. Plugged to some friends. It's pretty funny.
Plugged to some friends. Yeah. Yes, Korean Fire Drill.
Yeah,
okay.
they've got one of the best 4th of July songs ever.
Really, I have not heard this 4th of July song.
It's pretty funny.
I bet it is.
Yeah.
Considering the people involved.
Yeah. But okay. So going back to the Halloween music thing I was talking about.
Okay. So what do you have for Halloween music?
Okay. So
I mean, beyond like Avenged Sevenfold's Nightmare album.
Well, it's okay. First off, Rob Zombie's entire discography.
Okay, Rob Zombie. Yeah, okay. I get that. If you want Halloween music, just put on Rob Zombie.
Put on Rob Zombie. But there's some really good stuff. Like Halloween, She Gets So Mean is a killer surf rock, like high energy surf rock type track. You've got And you got the other stuff, though. That's when Dracula starts coming on the radio. That's when,
Rob Zombie.
Yeah, back to Rob Zombie. But Marilyn Manson's covers of, who knows, like, they do the cover of Tainted Love. They have the cover of, which doesn't really fit, but it's Marilyn Manson, so it kind of fits. It's kind of weird that way.
People are just playing because it's scary music.
Essentially, but then they also do, they also do, you know, the Marilyn Manson Sweet Dreams, which totally, or I Put a Spell on You, his version of I Put a Spell on You.
I'll get that one.
And they also have there's a definitive version of I Put a Spell on You, because it was written by John Fogerty, but and CCR has a version originally that came out, but there's the definitive version of I Put a Spell on You.
Screaming Jay Hawkins?
Yes, Screaming Jay Hawkins.
Yeah.
That version is on there.
Yeah.
You know, and they'll do other like staples like, you know, the Monster Mash.
Hold on. I do want to put out that there are some people that would argue that Bette Midler's version is a definitive version of I Put a Spell on You.
But it's short.
It is.
It's one verse and one chorus.
But it's still
Broadway.
There are still many people.
It's killer. It's really good.
There are so many people who would consider that a definitive version of it. So,
but I'm just but his.
There's some people who actually only know that song from that movie and have never heard that song outside of that movie.
That's crazy.
Yes,
that's seriously. Crazy to me. There's so many versions of I Put a Spell on You.
Yeah. I like Manson's, but
Manson has the he does his cover of This Is Halloween.
Which isn't bad. I mean, Elfman's version is better, but still, it's
Elfman's
not bad.
Version of everything Elfman does is better. Elfman's is the definitive version. You will never get better than Elfman.
No.
But kind of cool to hear a twist. One of my favorite. Did you ever hear that? It's multiple hard rock artists and metal artists doing covers of
The Nightmare Before Christmas album. Yeah, I heard them. Yeah,
Korn's Kidnap the Santa Claus is the best track that whole album.
Yeah, it's great.
So good. That needs to be in rotation. It's not, but it should be. But then you've got the theme to Tales from the Crypt. You have the, and they'll run that stuff.
Okay.
They'll run Tales from the Crypt. They'll run the Beetlejuice theme. They'll run.
What Beetlejuice theme? The Harry Belafonte song?
No, Beetlejuice, the one by.
Just
Danny
the music.
Elfman.
Just the music.
Yeah, the theme, the main theme. There's the Tales from the Crypt theme they'll run. Red Right Hand by the Scream
Nick Cave
film. Nick Cave and Bad Seeds. Thank you. So they'll run that kind of stuff in the store, which is, I think that's cool.
No, that is cool. That gives you another dimension to it. At some of the bigger stores, the most you're going to hear is stuff like, again, the Monster Mash and stuff like that.
Right, I know. And that's kind of
Although I think you've hit onto a new idea here.
Yeah?
The idea of Thanksgiving carols. Thanksgiving music.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be kind of cool. But here's the problem with, okay, so here's the issue with Thanksgiving that comes up.
I mean, the fact
it's
that
as it's contested as a holiday.
No, it is.
Because the next thing that comes up, you have two people that look at Thanksgiving. They look at Thanksgiving because of the whole family thing. They look at Thanksgiving because of the foundations of Thanksgiving as far as that. And then they look at the fact that everything. Yeah, exactly. The problem is that they move straight from. It's the people look at Thanksgiving like they look at Columbus Day.
The best way to blame them. The best way to have the full explanation of Thanksgiving is watch the second Addams Family movie. At the end of the second Addams Family movie, Wednesday and Pugsley Addams have been sent away to a summer camp.
Okay.
And the camp counselors, played by Christine Baranski and, I can't think of the other, of the actor that plays the other camp counselor. He's a great actor, too. He's so funny in everything he does. But anyway, they are putting on a play about the first Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And Wednesday is supposed to be playing Pocahontas, who would not have been present at the first Thanksgiving. But this is the way that these yuppie, waspish camp leaders have written this play out to be. And it's a camp, it's a summer camp where the parents are all rich and pay huge amounts of money for their kids to be there.
Right.
And so Wednesday ends up taking over the play, and instead of the turkey, who is played by Pugsley, being killed, she takes over and starts trying to kill everybody, all of the white people in the play, for taking their land and killing all of their people and making them live in small reservations and make money out of casinos and things like that. This is a whole great scene.
That's fantastic.
Christina Ricci just knocking it out of the park as a little kid doing this part. And that gives you the best idea that, like, everything that you've ever thought you knew about Thanksgiving is a complete and utter lie. None of that ever happened. There was no breaking of bread between between the settlers and the natives. In fact, that story was made years later and has been bastardized throughout the years. They didn't even celebrate it in America until Abraham Lincoln's terms in office. There was no Thanksgiving until then. Just so y'all know. But still, saying all of that, it's actually my favorite holiday. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday.
Why is that?
Why?
Just out of curiosity. I mean, aside from... Now, can you take the food and pull it out of the factor?
No. It's all about the food.
It's all about the
food. It's literally about the food.
I understand that completely.
It's all about the food.
You know what? After I asked the question, that was something that I completely... I'm not trying to do the fat guy thing. I'm not trying to do that at all. I'm just like, well, the reason why I like Thanksgiving is because of the food. The food out of it. Well, there's no reason to really have it.
You can be a fat guy in a skinny guy body. It's okay. Well, actually, you can be a fat guy in a somewhat skinny guy body.
I was going to say...
I'm not going to give you full skinny.
Yeah, don't give me that,
you got a little pudge going on,
but not enough. Yeah, I'm... I'm somewhat beefy.
You can still fit through doorways, okay? You can fit through a turnstile. I'm not sure if I can. I haven't been through one in a long time. I have to hike up the gut. But anyway, no, it's literally, for me, it's literally all about the food.
I get you.
There was a time when I...
So basically, like Thanksgiving and the Super Bowl. I mean, aside from the football, like the Super Bowl, I go to Super Bowl parties because of the food. Because the food's awesome.
You know, I don't go to Super Bowl parties typically.
Really?
Well, I've been to a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I really didn't enjoy myself, mainly because here's the thing. If I want to really pay attention to the game, I like to watch the Super Bowl for one.
Yeah.
But the only time I really want to pay attention to the game, like super big attention, is if my team is in it.
I get it.
I still will watch them all and see what's going on with them.
Yeah.
But like to go to a party for it, it's just I'd rather sit and watch it in the comfort of my own home. If it's my team in, I will make sure to invite people who are fans of my team, and now I will make sure there are not any non-fans invited to my Super Bowl party.
You want the entire house cheering in unison?
Yes, and then sad in unison together. I don't want any drama going on while I'm trying to watch my team.
Sharing the joys and sorrows of the Super Bowl.
Lose. But win. but no, I like to do my Super Bowl thing to myself. You know, when I was a kid, we used to go to my grandparents for Thanksgiving. And it was always really a stressful thing for mm-hmm. me. Going to my grandparents had a lot of stress involved in it at different points in time. We'd go there for Thanksgiving, we'd go there for Christmas. And oddly, sometimes we'd go there for Easter, but that was really all we ever really saw them. We didn't see them much beyond that.
Okay.
And it was just really stressful to do. We were there, my cousins were there, aunt and uncle and whatnot, and there's just a lot built up for those days. My parents were stressed, I would be stressed. It's really weird. When we moved away from that area of living, when we moved up to this area, Northern California area, we didn't have any family close by, really. I mean, okay. We had some, but not some that we would regularly see on those holidays.
Okay.
We'd see that one on Easter. We really wouldn't see that one on Thanksgiving. So we started having Thanksgivings at home. And I kind of liked that more. It felt more connected for me. It was just me and my sisters, my parents. We all just had Thanksgiving at the house, and it was nice. First couple of years I was an adult, I actually kind of got lucky and was able to, you know, moved out from my parents' place. Mm-hmm. I was able to, with my wife, at that time we were just dating, but I got to have multiple Thanksgivings. In fact, my oldest son was born a week before Thanksgiving.
Oh, cool.
Funny story in that. Definitely my kid. Well, actually, he's definitely a mixture of my kid and my wife's kid. Because my wife was sitting there. I'm there. She's there, obviously, because she has to be there with the kid. Mm-hmm. Inside her belly. And our webpage designer, Rob, was mm-hmm. there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all sitting, watching Star Wars Episode II, Attack of the Clones.
Okay. It's
the first time we're watching it on video, on DVD, whatever. Mm-hmm. First time we got it at home, we're watching it. So we're sitting around. That's why he came to visit, was to sit and watch the movie with us. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to buy it, so he had seen it in the theater, but he's sitting and watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And I specifically remember my wife is eating... white fudge covered Oreos. She waits all year for the white fudge covered Oreos to come out.
Those are good.
I'm not a fan personally, but like that's like one of her foods that she waits all year for the Christmas season for those to come out.
Those things are like, yeah, I agree 100% with her. Those are like some of the best Oreos.
Let's come back to this as things that we look forward to coming out in the Christmas season, because I think this could be an interesting topic. But anyway, she's eating those cookies. Mm-hmm. And she starts feeling kicking and moving and whatnot, and starts feeling then contractions and whatnot. And I'm like, damn, my son wants to get out to watch some Star Wars. All right. And then at the same time, maybe he wants to get out to eat some cookies. Okay. Well, he's definitely our kid. We go. Right. We end up going to the hospital, and he's born after midnight that night.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Kind of sucked for our friend Rob, because our kid was named after one of Rob's names. And the doctor first told us, nah, baby's not coming tonight. You know, you guys can get ready to go home. And so Rob lived about an hour away. And so he's like, all right, I'm going to head out for the night then, because mm-hmm. he figured our night was over at that point. Mm-hmm. He leaves not 15 minutes after he leaves. And this is in the pre-cell phone era, people. Yeah. So we didn't have ways to get in touch with each other.
On when his
we
were way home, yeah.
Driving. Doctor comes back in and says, nope, I've decided we're going to take care of it tonight. Baby's going to come out, because it had to be a C-section.
Oh.
So baby's going to come out tonight. And it's like, oh, damn, dude, we just send him away.
Yeah.
This is the kid that's named after him. It's our, you know, my best friend, and he's not going to get to be here to see it happen. Well, crap. So, and then, of course, we were figuring out ways to call up all the family and get all the family down there. That was a fun night. but it's, you know, Christmas time for you. Christmas memories. So a week later is Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, it's not Christmas memories, but Thanksgiving memories. A week later is Thanksgiving. Got a one-week-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
Wife fresh out of the hospital. She's got family in one area that wants to see her. She's got the main family that she's on a regular. And then we got my family, and each one of them wants to see this new kid. Because both her and I are basically the oldest in our families.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, for some people, first grandkid.
Yeah.
So everybody wants to see the damn kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we end up with three Thanksgivings that year.
Wow.
Now, keep in mind, I'm half the size then that I am now. Mm-hmm. But I still put away three Thanksgivings that year.
It was
strong, man. You're going to give me three Thanksgivings? I am going to eat that
full
crap.
Full pride.
Hell yes. I suffered for it, but it was good.
I always kind of dealt with, more recently now, what we do is every other year we host Thanksgiving at my place. And I'm kind of like, I don't know. I'm kind of like carrying on the tradition of like my parents on my mom's side. We hosted Thanksgiving like every year, pretty much for the most part. Sometimes it was every once in a while the house would change, but from what I remember, we hosted every single year.
Well, and that's where after the first year of our first kid being born,
mm-hmm.
we decided that we weren't going to try to do that again. We weren't going to try to be at other people's Thanksgivings, because it's my favorite holiday.
Yeah.
I didn't mind doing things for other holidays to some extent. We had to do some changeover in Christmas once I had all my kids, and then they started getting a little older. We did some changeover on Christmas, but mm-hmm. that we can talk about that another time. But for Thanksgiving, I wanted it to be my Thanksgiving. I wanted to be able to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And so for the first time ever, my wife and I decided we were going to make a turkey. Now, she had helped with her family making all the different parts of Thanksgiving. She'd never made a turkey. I'd never made a turkey. We embarked on a journey to make a turkey. We decided to do a pre-Thanksgiving, 2 weeks before normal Thanksgiving,
okay,
to try out the turkey method that we were going to use.
Okay.
This turkey method was from a Food Network chef. You probably know this guy, Alton Brown.
No, I do not.
No, you don't? Dude, best Food Network chef ever.
Okay.
Because this guy, total kind of nerdy guy, he breaks down the science of why you cook things the way that you do. What the various methods of cooking do.
I am already there. I'm a sucker for finding out how things are, what they are.
He explains to you why you
like
it.
How they work. Dude, I am there. I want to see that.
The show is called Good Eats that he did.
Okay.
And he breaks down exactly why you use the specific things that you use, their chemical reactions, what type of things to get. He's really big about having kitchen appliances and things in your kitchen that serve multiple purposes and don't just do one thing.
Right.
So you can make this do multiple things. Dude smokes meat in cardboard boxes with box fans. Yeah.
You can do that?
Technically, yes.
I want to know how to do that.
This is the guy to pay attention to. Check this guy out. Dude, that sounds awesome. Yeah, he's given me all the cool recipes that I've, like, if you're making homemade chili, right? How would you thicken the chili? Most people are going to use like cornstarch or flour to thicken the chili.
Right.
How about using corn chips?
Corn chips?
Just corn chips. Break up corn chips, let them dissolve. Specifically, Frito-style chips. I like to use chili cheese Fritos.
They have a little seasoning on too.
Yeah, they have some salt that can bring some flavor, and they dissolve in. If you set them in early enough, they'll just melt into it and create the thickness of whatever water you have in there cooking the meat or the beans.
Do you crush them up, or you just throw them in there and let them soak up?
I personally crush them up, and Fritos seem to work the best, more so than regular corn chips.
That is super interesting. I never thought about that.
That was in the cookbook that I got of his.
This guy sounds like a genius.
He is a genius. He explains to you why you want to sear meat, what the scientific effect of the searing of the meat does for the flavor of the meat. It's that kind of level of detail. And so,
yes, please.
His turkey recipe requires that you brine your turkey. A brine being a saltwater solution.
Mm-hmm.
You create this saltwater solution with all these flavors in it. You have the turkey in it, and he uses just a 5-gallon bucket to brine in.
Okay.
Just a 5-gallon bucket with ice water, because you need to keep the turkey at fridge temperature, because you don't want it to grow bacteria and get nasty and whatnot. But the brine consists of a whole bunch of salt and then all kinds of different other flavors, like allspice and black peppercorns, and there's a bunch of different things that you put into this brine. To what happens with it is, because you have a salt water mixture and you have whatever moisture is inside the meat of the turkey. With the process of osmosis, the meat that's in the moisture in the meat of the turkey will move towards the saltwater mixture because of the high salinity of it.
Right.
And then it'll mix with the saltwater mixture and move back into the turkey because there's the dryness because osmosis is
a balance of all of the elements in one area.
When it does that, it brings the flavor in. That's how a brine works.
Interesting.
It brings whatever flavors you've put into the fluid into the meat directly. So you don't have to inject the meat. You know those big injectors that they have you put Cajun butter or stuff inside
your meat?
No injecting of the meat, no nothing.
Huh.
It automatically gets the flavor in there. You end up getting white meat, the breast meat, that is not dry. You don't need to cover it in gravy to be able to eat it.
Right.
Even after you've deboned the carcass completely, you have the meat sitting in a Tupperware in the fridge, the Saturday or Sunday after Thanksgiving, and you go grab some white bread and make yourself a turkey sandwich, the meat still has moisture to it. It's not just nasty and dry.
Dang.
It's beautiful. There's a little more method to it as far as the cooking goes and whatnot, but it's a more intensive process than just tossing the turkey in a thing. You don't do no basting. You definitely don't put your stuffing inside the turkey. Never. It's a breeding ground for bacteria, people.
Yeah.
Disgusting. But we made this turkey the first time. Turned out perfectly. And for 16 years, it's turned out perfectly since.
Wow.
I mean, I haven't made my one this year, but I guarantee you it's going to turn out great.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
It's my turkey.
That sounds fantastic.
And yeah, it's the food I look forward to. I look forward to the food on Thanksgiving. I want that perfect turkey because it's the only time you can get turkey at a decent price.
Right.
And I love making it. It's so good. It's the only time I really use real potatoes to make mashed potatoes instead of dehydrated potato flakes to make mashed potatoes.
Right.
Because it's so much quicker to make them with dehydrated potato flakes. But on Thanksgiving, hell no. Real mashed potatoes, man.
All right.
Real mashed potatoes.
All right.
Giblet gravy. I'm talking using the giblets out of the turkey. You know that bag of stuff in the turkey?
Yeah.
Yep. And the neck.
All right.
And the neck meat. Giblet gravy. So good. You don't even know how good it is until you've actually had it in comparison to powdered or jarred gravy. It is so good. I mean, it's the flavor is so rich. So much deeper than the other stuff. And then, pie.
All right.
I love pie. Pie is so good. Do you not like pie?
I love pie.
Pie is so good.
I'm more of a cake pie, but I do really dig on pie.
More of a cake pie or a cake guy?
Cake guy. Did I say cake pie?
You did, but it's all right. You had your mind on pie, which is good.
I had my mind on pie. You kept saying pie. I'm more into cake than I am into pie, but I'm not going to,
I mean, and for me, there's...
It depends on the type of pie.
Well, for me, there's three pies that are appropriate to serve at Thanksgiving.
Apple, pumpkin, and pecan?
Pecan, yeah.
Yeah.
And all three of those, I mean, just layer them on top of each other and just let me go.
Just...
Yes.
Pie of...
Yes, three pies of... Three stacked pies I will eat.
A triple stack of pie.
Yes.
That sounds fantastic, actually.
The only other possibility...
You're making me hungry, dude. Like,
the only other possibility is a pumpkin cheesecake. Which I've had multiple times.
I don't remember. If I have had pumpkin cheesecake, I do not remember it.
You'd remember it.
Okay.
It's
then the, I must the, not have had
the
it.
The level of richness on a pumpkin cheesecake, so good.
Hmm.
Well, I'm sorry I'm making you hungry, but we're going to take a break.
Maybe I'll get some food.
Well, no, I was thinking you might, but I was thinking more about the fact when we come back from the break. Let's talk about the foods that we look forward to other than Thanksgiving. We've just talked about what we look forward to on Thanksgiving. Let's talk about the other things that we look forward to, the little snack things, not necessarily the big foods, but like other things that we look forward to in this holiday time of year, including even Halloween. Maybe there's specific stuff that only comes out at Halloween that you like, but what comes out this time of year that really is like you wait for every year for it to come out? Because I know I at least have a few. Most of them are candy and cookies.
Okay.
But still, I know I have a few.
Yeah.
So we'll be back in just a minute, all right?
All right.
Hey, friends. This is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thexennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And welcome back, everybody. So, my mission here is to make Mike, I think, even hungrier than he already is.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk about some of the things that we look forward to in the holidays. Other than the music appearing out of nowhere. I'm talking about some of these snacky items, or, hey, maybe it is the music that you look forward to. I don't know.
But I'm weird on the music, man. Promotion. I'm weird on the music. There's promotional items
maybe that you're looking for. And some things also we can even discuss some of the things that you aren't looking forward to when it comes to the holidays.
Okay.
Like, I am never looking forward to any of the new flavors that Starbucks brings out during the holidays. I don't care. I don't want them. Admittedly, there was years ago that I agreed with somebody that Starbucks would be the place that I drink my coffee from. That was the only thing I can say I agreed with that person on that I ever went back on, because I still don't drink my coffee at Starbucks, and I still won't do it. Damn it, if I want pepperminty flavored hot drink, it's going to be hot cocoa. It ain't going to be coffee. Make my coffee real, not pepperminty. I love peppermint, by the way. Peppermint's one of my favorite flavors for everything. Like, I look forward to peppermint bark when it comes out. That's the
peppermint
good.
Bark's killer. I actually, so my dad's side of the family
they make it
peppermint fudge.
Oh, I'm down with that.
Peppermint fudge is awesome.
That's one of the three things that like my mother got right with cooking.
Yep.
Was her fudge. She would make like five different flavors of fudge.
One of the three things is that what you said?
Yes, one of the three things that she really got right. The other two are cookies. Two different types of cookies.
Oh, what kind of cookies?
Snickerdoodles. Her snickerdoodles are amazing.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I would love to share them with you, sir, but she's not around to make them.
I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Okay.
It's been enough years. We can have some fun with it.
Okay.
The other one she made was spice cookies. She made them out of spice cake mix, like the Duncan Hines spice cake.
Mm-hmm.
She would make that into cookies, and they were amazing. Because I like molasses cookies. I like ginger cookies.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's in that spice realm, I love. And these cookies were amazing and brilliant. Those I can get made for you because my wife knows the recipe for those.
Okay.
And they are fantastic.
All right.
But snickerdoodles, other than the one little farmhouse place that I found snickerdoodle cookies at, that I promise next time I go to it, I will get you at least one to bring to you.
Okay.
I have not found another place that makes really good snickerdoodle cookies. And they are my favorite by far. If I understand correctly, they're your favorite too, aren't they?
Oh, yes, they are.
And they just have to be made. That's one that has to be made perfectly right to really taste good.
Yeah.
But no, like anything peppermint, for some reason, peppermint is so associated with the Christmas season. And so they come out with all kinds of peppermint combinations of things. And I got to admit, I love that because just peppermint and chocolate is good. But peppermint just by itself, I'm a peppermint lover. I really am. It's some good stuff. Candy canes are awesome. I love candy canes, just the regular flavored ones.
I'm back and forth on candy canes. I can kind of take them or leave them. It depends on what type.
Well, them, spearmint, wintergreen, any of the minty flavors.
Wintergreens are good.
I used to look
forward... I probably dig those over spearmint, to be honest.
I can get that. I can get that. I used to look forward to, as a kid, getting the Lifesavers books. You know, did you ever get those? You get them in your stocking, typically. Mm-hmm. They were kind of book-shaped, and they had different rolls of Lifesavers in them. About the only time you could get Wild Cherry.
Yeah.
And sometimes you got buttered rum in there, so you had to figure out somebody in the family that liked the buttered rum, because those things are disgusting. But the Wild Cherry
Why make the buttered rum Lifesavers when you got Werther's, man?
Okay, I get that. I get what you're saying there.
I mean, sorry, Werther's takes it always.
I get you there. But, like, no, I that's the food is really, sadly, being the fat guy that I am, the food is the biggest thing I look forward to in almost every occasion.
Okay.
And when you get around Christmas time, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, you start seeing all the different cookies come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a sucker for cookies, man. Any kind of chocolate crackle cookies, the Mexican wedding cookies, the Mexican wedding ones, you know what I'm talking about?
What are those ones?
They're kind of half spherical shaped.
Okay.
Covered in powdered sugar, and inside they got crushed up like walnuts in them, or pecans, or no. Something like that. I think it's pecans.
Yeah.
And so they're like a shortbread cookie with pecans, crushed up pecans in them, and then that powdered sugar on the outside.
Yeah.
Dear God, I can eat so many of those.
Those are good. And those are good.
Sugar cookies with frosting on them.
The sugar cookies with frosting are the cookies I go for. You're talking like the thick, floury types.
And they're like
big, thick, huge. Yeah. Just cake of fries. It's like they just cut it out.
And it's shaped like Santa or a damn snowman or a Christmas tree. And it's got corresponding colored icing on it. And it's just so good. Like, you feel like after you eat like three of them, you feel like Wilford Brimley is going to appear before you and give and you just, medical advice.
Just diabetes.
Yes. It's yours now. You have it. They're so good. They're so tasty.
You know what? I'm a sucker for gingerbread cookies.
That's another one. Again, gingerbread cookies
are the way to go. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. You get shoved some gingerbread cookies. I can never make a gingerbread house or the gingerbread creations, whatever. Sometimes you can buy them where they look like different things now other than houses, like castles and whatnot, whatever. I can't trains, they even come in. I can't make them because I eat the stuff. Because I'm eating the walls and the ceiling, bro.
Yeah.
I can't help myself but eat them. Tash likes good.
Okay, so she's put together gingerbread houses before. She's kind of done her thing, and part of me is just like, I'm just saying.
You better keep me on a short leash when I come around Christmas time and I see those things, because you never know if I might break a piece off.
Honey, we're missing a wall.
Not my fault. I actually remember making one year. I wasn't making it. The wife was with the oldest child. They were trying to put one together, and he brought out one of his Godzillas and had his Godzillas pretend to eat it as he was eating parts of it. Such a good kid.
Oh,
I love that kid.
That's precious.
But no, I can't make the gingerbread houses because I just want to eat them. I want to eat the candies on them. I want to eat the gingerbread. Gingerbread cookies are so good.
I can get it. I can get behind that. That makes sense.
That's totally. One of those. Yeah. You know the little. You can buy it. They're usually like a buck or two. The little red bag that has the little tiny gingerbread men in them. They're cheap ass cookies, but I will buy that bag and devour it. There will be nothing left of that.
No, those are good. Those are really good.
The sugar ribbon candy. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That ribbon candy. That's the hard sugar candy. You're not in for the
hard sugar. Not big on those guys.
Oh, I love those because you get them and they have so many different flavors. They have like orange in there and lemon, but then all the minty flavors.
Yeah.
So good.
I know. I can understand it. It's one of those things you can understand. You'd be like, all right, it's not for me, but I get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Going back to the candy canes, I recently saw some candy canes that are baby bottle pop candy canes. Get this, bro. Strawberry flavored and blue raspberry flavored candy canes. And they come with like a little container. It looks almost like a little plastic vial.
Yeah.
That's got the powder, the baby bottle pop powder in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you lick the candy cane, stick it in the vial, get the powder on it, lick the powder off the candy cane. Similar to what you would do with like a baby bottle pop where you lick the top of it and get the powder out of the inside.
Yeah.
But it's in a candy cane form.
Really?
Yes.
That's very interesting.
I got them.
Oh, really?
The powder is quite sour, but it's very good.
Okay.
Very good.
That sounds nice.
I'm hearing myself do a lot of the sharing. Let's hear some more from you, sir.
Holiday food for me, like, I don't know. I always hang out around I'm kind of simple. A lot of the time, if we're talking about going there and going there. We're talking like food that's there at the celebration, really? Or are okay, we just talking
we
like
talk about that too.
Stuff and get just in general? Okay, so
I'm thinking I've been thinking more about just stuff that comes out of the store. The
oh, okay.
But if you got stuff for the celebration,
I'm looking
bring it
like,
out.
Dude, the part of me is thinking like, you know, those meat and sausage packages,
yes,
and stuff that you get.
The sausage and cheese stuff that you
the
get.
The sausage and cheese, yes, stuff is so good.
I love those.
And I'm kind of a sucker
for... I like those for gifts better than like most other gifts.
Yeah.
Like homemade gifts are maybe at like the top of my thing, because like if you home make something,
those are cool.
Yeah, that means you put in the time and the effort for it. You thought about me,
yeah.
And while you were doing that, however long it took you, you had to be thinking about me that whole time. So that's freaking cool. Means yeah. You like me a bit.
Yeah.
But like secondary to that, I love gift packs, especially when they have good food stuff. And the sausage and cheese ones, I love sausage.
Oh yeah.
In the food way, and I love cheese. Cheese is so good.
Yeah.
And so yeah,
I'm
great.
Huge fan of like the variety cheese packages, yes, that kind of stuff. Just and all the ones that you never get at the store in regular. Like most of the time it's okay, there's some Jack, there's some Swiss, and then there's like some salami and maybe pepperoni in those ones. You know, yeah, what I mean? But you're talking like variety for days.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Love it's them. All love new them. Stuff. Every time it just feels like having it for the first time again.
It's one of those things that you can, yeah, it's a gift that you're going to eat it all and then it'll be gone. Mm-hmm. But the enjoyment that you get out of it, it's like, it's better than maybe a tchotchke that's going to sit on your shelf for years and yeah, you'll look at it and whatnot, but
yeah,
you don't get the same enjoyment. Sometimes somebody's able to find and buy for you, mm-hmm, that shelf item that's just like the perfect shelf item, the perfect thing that they found for you. That like a couple of years ago, I got probably one of the best Christmas gifts I ever got in my entire life.
Uh-huh.
I mean, ever. I can say this. It's one of the best gifts I've ever had. It was just a simple glass, you know, normal like 7-inch tall, 8-inch tall glass.
Mm-hmm.
It's normal glass you drink water or tea, whatever, out of.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Miss Piggy on her motorcycle from The Great Muppet Caper on the glass.
That's awesome.
Well,
that's amazing.
It's even more awesome when you know that the first celebrity I ever had a crush on was Miss Piggy. I actually have a picture of me as a small child getting the poster of her on the motorcycle.
Oh, so you got it in the glass now.
For the Great Muppet Caper. And yeah. I was a kid. The poster is, of course, long gone.
Yeah.
But the person who knew about this, and it was my sister-in-law that knew about this,
uh-huh,
she saw the glass for sale, like on eBay or Amazon, yeah, or something, and she snatched it up immediately.
That's
knowing
great.
How much it meant to me. And she still rides on the fact that she got me literally one of my favorite gifts of all time. I love it so much. And it sits on a shelf right next to where I sit on the couch.
Nice.
And there's a little tiny plush Kermit sitting inside the cup.
Oh, that's great.
Never been drank out of. I will not drink out of it.
No,
I will
I
not
it.
Let it be washed. If it's going to be wiped down, it's going to be wiped down by a gentle cloth so that it doesn't lose any of the print that's on it of the,
yeah,
picture. But it's like one of my favorite things because it was just a really awesome, thoughtful gift.
That's
and
fantastic.
I love things like that. But
yeah.
I mean, and that's a great shelf thing. You don't normally find those every time you grab something for somebody to have on their shelf.
Yeah.
You just find something that maybe fits in with the rest of their stuff. But the food gifts, they give you something at that moment.
Yeah.
You open up that package of summer sausage, you start slicing off pieces of that, pieces of cheese, put the sausage and the cheese together to eat some.
Yep.
When have you seen that recently? And enjoy. And oh my God, it's so amazing just to be able to sit and enjoy that.
Yeah.
A little bit of meat and cheese and happy days.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of those. Gosh, what else is there? Okay. So I'm a sucker for if we can move on. Okay, so like main course stuff.
Yeah, move to what you
big
want.
Big on holiday ham.
Oh, so
holiday
ham
is
guy.
So good. Big on holiday ham, love it. I'm kind of like a sucker for holiday drinks.
Okay,
holiday drinks in general, and I'm talking everything. I'm talking hot cocoa all the way to spiked eggnog.
Oh,
I am
okay.
Everywhere
oh, so you're
on
an eggnog
that.
Drinker too.
I'm an eggnog drinker. Now I have been.
So would it surprise you to know that I like neither ham or eggnog?
That you like neither of them?
I like neither of them, actually.
Okay.
Just throwing off the interesting point, but
yeah.
Continue on, your drinks.
Okay, so eggnog, what I do eggnog, I do eggnog and good rum.
Good
it's
rum.
It's got to be
okay,
good
so
rum.
Okay, so you go rum.
Yeah,
and you go
rum
good
and eggnog.
Rum.
I'll do rum and eggnog. There is, oh man, there is actually, and I've always been kind of like a whiskey guy for a while. I'm all into whiskey. Jack Daniel's has a holiday apple cider that they come out with. Now, it's not just straight cider. Like, if you have just the Jack Daniel's cider by itself, that is not the way you should have it.
Okay.
Okay. So if you take the Jack Daniel's cider, what they say on the bottle is, oh, take this, pour it into a saucepan and you know, heat it up and then have it straight, put a little cinnamon in there, and maybe throw an apple in there, you're cool. No, you want to break it down with actual apple cider because this stuff is potent. It's like you try to take that first sip. Yeah. You try to take that first sip, it's like huffing paint. Like, you do not want to have it straight, but take it and break it down to like a 1/3 Jack to 2/3 cider. It breaks it down and gives it a little bit of a zing.
You get that alcoholic thing in there.
It's not going to get you, you know, smashed.
Yeah, you're going to get blasted. Sit there,
but it's going to be just a little bit of that, spike. You get it, you know?
All right, that's good.
You know, just for flavor. That's good stuff. I'm into that kind of stuff. But dude, hot cocoa.
Yeah, like, see, my holiday beverages really consists of Martinelli's apple cider.
Oh yeah,
and I'll drink like 3 and 4 bottles of that stuff.
Oh, dude,
without even thinking twice. There's a
hot tea that that my wife and I have.
Oh, what is it?
It is a
hot tea. Is my game.
It's a Celestial Seasonings.
Yeah,
it is a green tea with no caffeine. It's a caffeineless green tea. It is an evening tea.
Okay.
It's called Sugar Cookie Sleigh Ride.
Okay. I've seen this one.
Sugar cookie in a tea. Now, in order to get the real full sugar cookie taste, you get the sugar cookie aroma with the tea itself. Throw a little bit of sugar in there. Just throw a little bit, like a teaspoon of sugar, into the cup.
Okay.
Mix it up. Make sure. Dude, that's it.
Because some of the times when I'm trying to do...
Or sweetener of taste, so if you want to do Splenda or Sweet and Low or something like that, you can.
Some of the times when I'm trying to get my peppermint fix on, but I can't get anything really pepperminty, I'll go with some peppermint tea, because that'll feel good. Also, when I have really bad throat problems, I'll go with peppermint tea.
Dude, peppermint mocha or peppermint hot chocolate?
I get that.
Oh, yeah.
I get that.
All about that, too. Peppermint chocolate candies are nice, too. Like, I dig those, too. It's kind of like peppermint bark, but if you just get like a chocolate, like I thought Hershey's has holiday chocolate bars or something like that.
They
got little peppermint flakes in them.
They're pretty good.
Oh yeah. Those are way to go. Little candy cane pieces.
Off the holiday subject. Have you ever tried the one that has the pretzel pieces in it?
No.
Yes.
What?
It's pretty good.
It's a chocolate bar with pretzel pieces in it.
Yes.
Yes, please.
I will make sure to get one of those.
That sounds fantastic.
For you. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a white chocolate, though. It's not regular chocolate.
I even more game.
Yeah. It's a thing.
White chocolate covered pretzels are like, that's my jam.
Better than chocolate covered pretzels?
Regular chocolate. You want one? Yes. Much better than regular chocolate covered pretzels.
Yes.
As I snicker at your reference. Thank you.
Movie reference. But no, I've had those peppermint Hershey's before.
Yeah.
And that's. Some of the things that they come out with, like, have you ever had peppermint Pop Rocks?
Peppermint Pop? I haven't had Pop Rocks in, like, 20 years.
Dude, why?
I don't know. I stopped having Pop Rocks when I was in high school. I don't know why.
Are you worried they would kill you because you're Mikey?
No.
You never heard that urban myth?
No.
That the Mikey kid from Life Cereals died by eating Pop Rocks and drinking Coke.
Okay, I've heard the urban legend about Pop Rocks and Coke. Yeah. I did not hear that Mikey from Life died from it.
No, he didn't. That's that was part funny. Of the myth. Yeah, that was one
I didn't
of the
even
myths.
Know that.
Yeah, Mikey.
I didn't
from
know
Life
that they tied it to a person. Yeah. I thought it was just like, oh yeah, some kid ate Pop Rocks and soda and he like
choked
to death.
No, at least that's
death.
The version I had heard at different points in time.
That's hilarious.
That it was Mikey from Life.
I didn't know that.
By the way, this is funny because one of Mike's favorite cereals is Life.
Life is awesome.
And when he said it the first time, I was like, seriously, your name is Mike and Life is your favorite cereal. That's like me saying,
listen on our YouTube page on one of our far past episodes and you'll hear that.
Yes. That's like me saying I love peaches. Seriously. I don't, by the way. I hate peaches. And not just for the literary references. I really don't like peaches. But anyway, moving on.
But yeah, dude, that's kind of like where I tend to gravitate.
How about peppermint?
Crispy turkey is always good, too. But good turkey is good turkey.
Yes, I will agree on that. I've had turkey at Christmas time, and it feels awkward to me just because of the association with it on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But I've had multiple different Christmas meals in trying to find the truly appropriate Christmas meal.
Mm-hmm.
I've done brisket before,
okay,
which was good.
Yeah.
I've done we did an apple shredded pork once. An apple spice shredded pork. Yeah.
How did that?
That
turn
came
out?
Out really, really well, and we did that with chicken leg quarters.
All right.
We did. We'd had multiple meats because we had a large number of family come over.
Yeah.
That turned out pretty good. Although nobody wanted to do my vegetable option that year, which was kind of sad. I wanted to do Brussels sprouts for the vegetable, but nobody else wanted to eat them.
I could totally understand that.
I'm
not a fan of Brussels sprouts.
There is a way that they can be made that you might like them, but that's really a might. There are some people who just don't like them at all, period, no matter how they're made. And I understand that. The way I make them, I like them. Actually, I like them. I'm one of those weird people that I guess I like Brussels sprouts anyway, so I guess my opinion on it really doesn't matter for somebody who doesn't like them.
It's like here's the thing. In order to make Brussels sprouts, like, for me, in order to make Brussels sprouts, like, able to stomach, you have to add so much ridiculously unhealthy stuff to it. It takes away the purpose of Brussels sprouts in general.
All I might have to add would be some vegetable oil and some salt and pepper, and I think I could get you to at least...
I'd be willing to try it.
Eat them. Let's put it this way. If it was a situation where you had to eat them, yeah, you'd be able to eat them and not be like wanting to throw up every 5 seconds.
No, because I've heard of people like wanting to put like, you know, melted butter and bacon in there and stuff.
If you use melted butter.
If that's the case, why don't you just eat bacon?
Well, if you use bacon fat as your fat medium to cook them with, that's okay.
Uh-huh.
But I can do it with vegetable oil and still get you the same. It's all about pan frying them to get it the way that I eat them. Again, okay. you still may not like it, and that's perfectly okay.
But it's the way that
I like it the best.
Yeah, I'm curious though. Most of the time, when everybody thinks Brussels sprouts, the first thing they think of is like steamed or microwaved or something.
And it's all slimy and snotty and tastes awful.
It smells like a burp and it tastes like a fart. It's terrible. it's absolutely horrible.
Not quite the way I make them turn out. Although I will eat them if I microwave them the right way, I will eat them that way. But that's because I'm doing it like quick. I'm not doing the full pan fry method, which tastes way better. But anyway, we've tried multiple things for Christmas dinner, and last year,
mm-hmm,
my wife asked for a Christmas present.
Uh-huh.
Before Thanksgiving, mind you, I bought her the Christmas present. And very much like our pre-Thanksgiving.
Okay.
This is a Christmas present that was, she asked for this because normally I would not buy a kitchen utensil or a kitchen thing for her as a Christmas present because that's kind of rude to buy. Unless somebody is like a chef and really wants to do the various cooking things, and she wanted this to be able to do various cooking things with. So I bought it for her. And she did a pre-Christmas dinner to try out the food that she was making. What I bought her was a giant pot with the steam rack inside. And you know what she made last year for Christmas? She made tamales.
Ooh.
Pork and chicken tamales.
I am a fan of homemade tamales, very much.
Oh, yeah. And to add on to it, she made homemade rice.
Ooh, okay.
And homemade refried beans.
Nice. Like, crushed them up and did the whole thing?
Like, cooked them for, like, over a day and, yeah, smushed them and all of that
man.
Stuff.
Man.
You have no idea. Actually, you have an idea.
I do.
You do have an idea because you have that in your family.
I have that, yeah. I've had all of that before, and it's fantastic.
And then, of course, my homemade, our homemade pico, which is fantastic always. Nice spice to it, nice flavor to it.
You got a little kick on that.
And yeah, there were the green, nasty, boogery, baby crap vegetables or fruits. Fruit. It's a fruit. It's got a nut in the middle, so it's a fruit. The one the green stuff that looks like baby poop that everybody loves in California.
Oh.
Yes,
oh.
The nasty avocado.
Oh, yeah.
There was some of that for people to put on their stuff. But I'm talking like you're unwrapping tamales, and I understand now why they're a Christmas tradition for a lot of Hispanic families. Dear God, it was good. Tamales, some rice, some beans, pour some of the pico over the top of it, and it's just a beautiful, lovely.
I get behind that. I get behind that.
We went with the apple pie after that because we figured that was the most appropriate thing to go with, apple pie.
Yeah, totally.
After that, but this year, funny, we're sitting around talking, we're planning out Thanksgiving, that's pretty simple. You know, we know what we do for Thanksgiving, and it's just us for Thanksgiving. We aren't expecting any visitors, any family guests, because over the years, the families kind of started doing their own things for Thanksgiving, and I'm cool with that. I'm good. Some families get together, and it's great when families get together. My family doesn't necessarily get together in that same way. And that's all right. Each family has their own way of working through things.
Yeah, teach their own, man.
But My wife was funny enough to ask me. She's like, so what do you think we're going to do for Christmas dinner? I just kind of looked at her. She's like, what? So I bought you a pot. We's having tamales. What are you talking about?
We's having tamales. Tamales for Christmas dinner? Yeah.
Hell yes.
Why not? Why not?
Hell yes.
That's great.
Tell you what, I think Christmas is close enough to the weekend this year that the following day when I come to do recording, I'll bring you some tamales. I might even bring you some rice and some beans.
Okay. Deal.
You're just like, hell yes, I get tamales.
Yeah, I am not going to say no to that.
Yeah. Tamales are
yes,
amazing.
Yes, please.
So that's what I'm looking forward to now.
Yeah.
Come Christmas. So you said you key in on the music. What Christmas songs are there that you really key into? Do you have favorite Christmas songs? Because I'll admit,
well,
I do like the
Mariah Carey.
Aside
from that recording of Oh Holy Night that I was talking about earlier.
Other than the Oh Holy Night, yeah.
You know what? When it comes down to it, like, okay, so I've got, I don't have any particular problem with the holiday itself. Okay. Christmas is Christmas. It's great. It's an excuse to get family together, to hang out, to have a good time, pass around a couple of gifts, you know, let people know you're thinking of them, that kind of stuff.
Say cool. Merry Christmas to people as much as possible outside of a workplace environment where the workplace does not want to be politicalized, so they don't use the words Merry Christmas, but you can say it to anybody else that you want to in your normal life because there's no ban on the words, right? It's a good time for that.
Sure.
Okay. Go on. Sorry.
We could tell people Merry Christmas still.
Yes, we can. And we should. Except, like,
in a work environment, if you know who you're talking to.
Well, or some work environments request that you don't say it because they don't want to single out any specific religious holiday or one over another. And that's okay if that's what they're doing because you're being paid by them to work at that point in time and you're going to say the things that they want you to say.
I don't know like, which ones those would fully be. Look, I'm not trying to be oblivious to it, but look, man, I know there are some, those places don't. They don't get that you can that you're still speaking to individuals.
I'm just saying when you're in a workplace environment. But anyway, so again about the holiday.
But yeah,
your
okay.
On the
so
holiday,
first
sorry.
Off, all right. So this is the you are touching on something that tends to be a bit of a topic of contention for me.
Okay.
My issue is that with what I have done, I've spent a very long time working in retail.
Oh, yes.
Probably longer than anybody else that I know working in retail.
Yeah.
And I would say that my issue, and I've been, here's the deal. I've never worked corporate level. I've pretty much always been a ground floor guy.
Yeah. Okay. You're just one of the grunts.
Yeah. I'm one of the grunts. I've been a grunt for a long time. And I will say that when it comes down to the issues of holiday music, it yeah. tends to be a constant reminder of the time that I am in. And just like, I'll tell you this, just like as important as holiday music is in order to sell things, you know why they run holiday music constantly in stores? There was actually my
ahead.
Wife. Okay, so get this. My wife used to work at PetSmart. I'll enlighten you with the situation.
Yeah.
My wife used to work over at PetSmart. Probably about 3 or 4 years ago, PetSmart did some math after they traded to a, I believe they were privately, they either went private or they went public, I can't remember. And basically a board of directors okay. was designing, was designating what was going on when it came down to their operations.
Okay.
So they were basically essentially, they were appealing to stockholders. Okay, yeah. That's what was going down.
So they were
stockholders
the
thought it was
things.
Impractical to run music in the stores, and so every store that had already had pre-installed systems, because when you run music in a public environment like a store, you have to pay either BMI or ASCAP. You have to pay royalties for that music.
Yeah.
Well, they thought that.
They would cut costs by not paying
by not
music
playing music
and not having to pay these royalties.
Exactly. Well,
but
the holiday season came about.
Yep.
And their holiday sales tanked in like they dropped in like close to half or something. I'm not exactly positive of the number. But,
yeah, I'm sure the music has that psychological effect.
That's what it is. Here's the deal: when you walk into a store and Christmas music is playing, the first thing that shows up on your mind, or it's just sitting there and tapping you in the back of the head
the
constantly. Hey, Christmas is coming. Christmas is close. Is there anything? Anybody? Things. Yeah, you got to buy stuff.
Take a look around.
Get that thing for your kids. Get that thing for your kids' pets. Get that thing for your family members on the outside. And if you don't have that, and you walk into an environment that's a sales environment, you're going to walk in, get the thing that you want, and leave. Well, Christmas in general and retail sales in general, most places thrive off of tertiary purchases. They thrive off purchases not for the thing that you're looking for.
Well, they're thriving off the extra things that may or may not be associated with that. Yeah, many of those businesses will also operate in the red for the majority of the year.
Yep.
Knowing that in the six to eight weeks of the Christmas season,
yeah,
they're going to make back enough money to put the whole year in the black, and they run the risk. They run the risk of having 10 months out of the year in the red to get them in the black for the whole year by the time the Christmas season ends.
I've heard the rumor before that is the reason why they call it Black Friday.
That's what I've heard as well.
That's a rumor. I've also heard a rumor that they called it Black Friday because a lot of the people on the on the ground floor, we're calling it Black Friday because of how insanely scary it is. Yeah,
I've been Black Friday shopping a few times. It's pretty nuts.
It is not pleasant. Black Friday shopping is not pleasant. It's not pleasant for the employees either. Yeah. I will tell you this. So getting back to the Christmas music thing.
Yeah.
Hearing and seeing people that are totally into the Christmas spirit, I have no problem with. My problem comes down to... It's oversaturation. Everybody's getting beat in the head with these things that are reminding them to buy stuff. Imagine the person who's standing there for 8-10 hours.
Yeah, it's just hearing the same music over and over.
Now it's just the same music. It happens to be holiday music all of the time.
And you hear some of those songs 4 times in your shift.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They only play on
because they'll play like a 2-hour loop. Yeah, totally. Two or three hour loop.
Freaking crazy sometimes. I spent a lot of time working at Home Depot. Where that's the second the holiday music kicked in, it was just like, oh my God. Interesting though, occasionally at working at Home Depot, not during the holidays, but during just the regular time with the music playing overhead, you get a couple of weird songs that would come up. I used to love when David Bowie's Golden Years would come up. Mm-hmm. That's just a fun groovy song. It was just always sticks in my mind.
Anyway,
so holiday music is hard for you.
It can be. You kind of have to learn how to zone it out after a while. And it's not that I'm trying to be, anti-Christmas or anything like that at all. I think the holiday's fantastic.
There comes a point where if something happens so often
but you see it so much,
it just becomes so overwhelming and oversaturated that it loses its meaning.
Yep. It's just being smack dead in the middle of it. That's the issue for me that I take,
For sure. Although, with all of that, do you have a favorite Christmas song? With all that extra baggage, do you have one?
Swiss Colony Beeflog by Eric Cartman.
Okay.
Okay. There's a few of them. So I'm a huge fan of... I know. I'm a huge fan of a guy named Bob Rivers. Do you know who this guy is?
The name is familiar to me.
Okay. So this guy is really, really good at doing parodies of songs.
I like parodies.
And he has a... huge series of Christmas-themed parodies.
Okay.
All of them are obviously holiday or Christmas-themed or what have you. And this guy does everything from he does a cover of Jermaker by Led Zeppelin, calls the song Sled Zeppelin, and Jermaker is the reggae type one. Oh 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 oh.
Okay.
You don't have to go.
Yeah.
No. Ho, 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 ho. Dashing through the snow. Ho, 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 ho. Like, it's
nice. Okay.
And but the as an engineer listening to it, and this is like a second depth to this, the guys, whatever the production team he's working with, whoever the engineers are that are researching this stuff, are dead on. And he's doing stuff like he's doing that. He's doing Jimi Hendrix. He does the Motel 6 commercials from the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'll show you a couple of them after we're done with this so you can hear it. That is my straight-up playlist for, the entirety of December because nobody plays it. Although, we're out here in Sacramento. There is a radio station, 98 Rock. They will sneak these holiday songs in during the December month.
Yeah, I think I've heard at least one of them.
So if you're listening to them... and you hear a song and you think it's that song, and then the lyrics are different. but it sounds like the original artist for the most part. It's dude.
Does he do an Ozzy one?
Yes, his most famous one is "I Am Santa Claus."
Yes, I know that
that's
one.
The most famous one he did. Okay, but there's so many of them, and he knocks them all out of the park.
Okay, technically a Black Sabbath, not an Ozzy, but whatever.
Yeah, it's
close enough.
He did get Ozzy Osbourne in that music video, though.
Nice.
And Ozzy Osbourne does the whole shoots a gun at the television set, a la the crazy Elvis story that everybody heard of. Yeah.
Nice.
It's fantastic.
I can say I have two favorites. It's always been Carol of Bells, because I love Carol of Bells. It's just a great song.
Yeah.
And then...
side note, Carol of the Bells sung by all Mr. Mackeys is probably my favorite version of that.
And then the other one is What Child Is This? And that's only because I can play it on the guitar.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. That's the only reason. I learned how to play that when I was like 15 or 16 or whatever.
Okay, so my parents years ago got me a South Park, the South Park Christmas album that has that version of Oh Holy Night on it.
Yeah.
And every one of those major traditional songs, there's parodies of. The one you're talking about with Carol of the Bells?
Yeah.
It's Carol of the Bells sung by a chorus of Mr. Mackey's.
Yeah.
The next one is that one, What Child Is This? Yeah. Sung by Chef.
Okay.
And it's a slow jam. Nice. And it's obviously, it's Isaac Hayes, but it was done in like 1998 or 99, way back when the show was still young.
I remember
and it's
that.
So
version.
Good.
I just, like I said, I just learned how to play it on the guitar.
Yeah.
And learned how to play it like the actual notes, not just the chords or anything. I could sit and bust that one out.
Nice.
That and I learned how to play Joy to the World. So.
Nice.
Yeah, that
is actually just a descending major scale.
Yes, it is. It is just a descending major scale. So it's really musician
really,
in really
me, man.
Simple.
Like,
it's a really, really simple song. And that's, I was messing around with the guitars the other day, and I was like, okay, I can do What Child Is This again. Cool. All right. Because I'd gone to my kid's school on, it was on Halloween day. I went to my kid's school, and one of the guys was the day after Halloween. They were doing a Day of the Dead thing there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the aides there, the occupational therapist there, was dressed up like one of the characters from Coco.
Uh-huh.
Because they were doing, again, Day of the Dead type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was carrying around a guitar that was, and I asked about the guitar. It's like, oh yeah, it's from so-and-so's class. And the D string was messed up sitting on top of the A string.
Yeah.
So I had to, it's just a cheap acoustic guitar. I moved the string into its proper place where it was supposed to be, but then I went to play it and it's so badly out of tune. And I was like, crap, do we have anything to tune it with? They had an out of tune piano that I couldn't really tune it to. So I hadn't brought my phone with me. So when I came to pick up the kids, I brought my phone inside and used my app to tune the guitar properly.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I'm sitting there tuning it and he's just kind of laughing. I'm like, I'm sorry, man. It's a guitar and it's not in tune. It has to be in tune. And my ears aren't good enough to...
Yeah.
Once I tune one string, I can tune the rest of them.
Yeah, that's tuning by ear.
If they're close.
Good, yeah.
If they're close.
Good.
This was so bad out of tune that I could not come anywhere near to getting it right. So I had to use the app, and I got it in tune finally, and I'm playing a few little things that I was doing. And then it got in my brain, okay, if I see this guitar again at school, what can I play that's appropriate for the school? Because I'm not going to be playing some Metallica or something, which is about the only things that I know. I know Marilyn Manson's Sweet Dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to play that. So I can play that, but nobody's going to know what it is.
Right.
I can play some of my stuff, but nobody's going to know what any of that is. And so, What Child Is This? That would be a great thing to play. I can do that. And as I'm playing that, I'm like, cool, I got that back down. Now, Joy to the World. Okay, yeah, I got that. That's simple. That's really easy. It's just a basic scale. That's simple to play. All right, I'm good to go. I have stuff I can play on that guitar if I ever see it again.
Side note
probably
on that.
Probably won't, but still.
Side note on that. When I, whenever I bust a fresh guitar completely out of the box, immediately, they are never in tune.
Oh, yeah.
The first thing I do on it before I even touch a tuning gear is play a tone-deaf rendition of Stairway to Heaven once on every guitar, every acoustic guitar that I get straight out of the box because it always sounds terrible.
I'll bet it
and
does.
Everybody, like... It always gets somebody to laugh every time.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's really, really funny.
I do that. It's one of the funnest things that I do. Like, it's like because, my calling card. That's what I do.
Especially because they should know what you're doing. They should know the fingering of the of that chord. So you, as you're sitting there doing it, it's like, that's wrong. It's not the right way to do it.
It's always the worst.
A, right? That's an A, right?
Yeah.
I actually learned how to play an
E. Setting scale in A minor. Whoa.
I learned how to play an E. E minor.
Yeah, because it's an A minor descending scale. Yeah, the bass is a A minor chromatic.
Well, you have to do the bar on
or A chromatic.
You have to do bar on 5 for it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I learned how to play it in E originally because the guy who taught us, who was teaching us how to play it, thought it would be easier to teach us how to play it in E because of all the open strings instead of having to do any bars.
Whoa.
So yeah, first time I played it.
I can't wrap my head around that because I know the pattern in A. Like everything is right there. You just sit there.
I know, but. Imagine that you don't have to, that you play it near the top with no bar.
Oh, that's weird.
It is.
Nope. That's incorrect to me. I don't understand.
First time I played it for somebody thinking that I knew what I was doing, having learned it that way, person was looking at me like I was freaking crazy. How do you do that? That's not right. Anyway.
It's right. It's just in a different key.
This is all the time we have for today to finish this up. Weird ways our conversation goes, but you know what? I like it.
Yeah,
Mike,
me too.
If people want to listen to the weirdness of our conversation, where are they going to listen to us?
You can head to our website, thezenialchronicles.com, or if you don't want to type that much, zenchron.com. Speaking of Zenchron, you can go to Facebook and Twitter and search us, and you can find us, and you can follow us and do all that fun stuff
there.
Please
do follow us.
Please follow us. You could also check us out on YouTube, where our entire archive of all of our podcasts are kept. You got to search The Zenial Chronicles up there, and you'll be able to find us. Also, if you want to hear the podcast itself, it's available on our website, or it's also on a bunch of different websites. TuneIn, Spotify, Google Podcast. With a little bit of finagling, you can find us on Apple Podcast as well. So, yeah.
And make sure when you watch on YouTube, make sure to subscribe and click the little bell thingy. Click the bell. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hopefully, we made you hungry.
Yeah.
Go out and get some snacks and learn how to play Stairway to Heaven properly.
Learn how to play Swiss Colony B-Flog.
Okay. Learn how to do that. We'll talk to y'all next week.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.